Seeing as I am 3 minutes late starting, my apologies.
Yeah, love me the world's
problems up here. So we do have Genie interpreting tonight, both for the floor. There's two more hopefully coming. So I would just ask everyone, for the benefit of the minutes later, to state your name if I don't clearly state it before you speak, as well as to speak slowly enough that interpretation can occur. Our interpretation is simultaneous, so it's happening at the same time as we're speaking. So if we start talking too fast, this is a good reminder for myself because I do it all the time too. So I will seek a motion to adopt the agenda. I just need a mover and a seconder from the floor. Councillor Tilly moves, Alan seconds, and so we do have a change to the agenda. The delegation, we're going to actually remove the delegation and allow Mr. McGregor to sit at the delegates' table when some new business is presented later on in the agenda. It's not a normal practice to have members of the public present during new business, but given the nature of the industry and the purpose of this committee, we think it'll be worthwhile to have that both for him to present questions and for us to present questions to him. So with that change, any comments or questions? Seeing none, I'll call for a vote. All in favor? That's unanimous. So we'll move straight into new business. CAO Mugford will present posting of Schedule I fares and Schedule Taxi Bylaw 590.
To do the minutes.
The minutes, all right.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Sorry.
Back up. So we do have a set of minutes from the last Taxi Advisory Committee meeting. I'm the only person here that was at that meeting. They look good. I would seek a motion from the floor to approve those minutes. Councillor Tilly moves. Jacob seconds. And I assume there's no comments or questions to the minutes because I'm the only one that can verify what happened. I'll call for a vote. All in favor? And that's unanimous. Thank you. Now moving into new business, 5A. CAO Mugford will present.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The first item is the posting of Schedule I fares and Schedule Taxi Bylaw 590 and the Taxi Bylaw Amendment Number 936. Under Bylaw 590, Section 8, Subsection 20, it states that taxi drivers must keep passenger information, which is Schedule I and K, accessible and legible at all times. As the bylaw does not specifically identify the requirement or the responsibility of the party, whether it's the city or the livery license holder or company, that responsibility. However, it is past practice, and I'm going back to my days of early enforcement from 2000 to about 2009, the city undertook this responsibility to get these schedules translated in all three official languages and made them available to the industry. So I'm seeking committee recommendation in relation to who the responsibility to have schedules translated in all three official languages, either the city or the livery license company. Thank you.
So we'd like to make a recommendation to council to make a decision on this. That's the responsibility of this committee, is to recommend changes to council. Do we think it should be the city's responsibility or the individual taxi livery license holder's responsibility to arrange for the translation of those documents? Mr. Webb, please go ahead.
Thank you, Councillor Kyle. I mean, in as much as, you know, one would think that it would be the taxi company's responsibility to do that, however, I think for the sake of uniformity and just to make sure there's compliance, I would think that it should be the city's responsibility to do this.
Thank you very much. And Jacob, please go ahead.
Thank you, Chair. I'm in agreement in terms of having a standardized approach. I think putting the onus on individual operators could lead to some miscommunication and perhaps some misinterpretation. And I think it would be in the benefit of the public to have standardized translations provided by the city. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I would agree entirely on that as well. Just push your button there, Cameron. I can make you go live. Go ahead.
Thank you, Chair. Cameron DeLong speaking. For the sake of my clarity, could you confirm like exactly what information are we talking about that is translated? You're talking about customers' information and it being translated and posted. I'm at a loss for what are the specifics of that. Like, what exactly are we talking about, please?
Thank you. So the specifics would relate to the schedule of fares. A lot of times there's confusion, especially when there's an increase in fare. So that would be updated. So a passenger would know what the cost it would be to for a standard taxi fare, as well as, you know, the additional cost that might be incurred for additional luggage or, you know, from point A to B. So if you were leaving from Apex to go to the Causeway, it's more than if you were leaving, you know, the city core to go to the Causeway or Apex. So that would be the Schedule I fares. And then the Schedule K is some other detailed information within the bylaw. You know, it states, you know, the car number. It states, you know, the livery owner. So there's a lot of important information that could get missed.
Go ahead, Cameron.
Thank you, Rod, for that clarity. So with that point clarification, thank you. I am in agreement that I would think that it would be standard practice for the city to undertake the translation of that information for the various cab companies. Just a question for clarification as far as rates and increases beyond the initial translation, then the requirement would also fall to the city to ensure that when new rates are approved and are going to be posted on a specific date, that that information would go through ahead of time to be translated so that we're not in a case where certain cabs have certain information and others don't.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. That would be correct. I know there is an approved schedule by our council where instead of the industry having to come every year within 90 days to request the fare increase, there's been a grid put into place so that every time, so as we're nearing this June, there will be another increase. So that will be done ahead of time, provided to all the industry companies so that they can get these placed in their car before the actual increase is implemented.
By the time this comes to council, I'm just wondering if we should mention anything about standards for what we're producing. You know, we want, it's going to be one piece of paper or sticker or some form of published media that's going to contain this information. You know, we can't have one taxi having a gold-plated engraved copy and then one having a paper copy. I just wonder if we should incorporate some standards into that. Is there something that's being used now that we can just replicate?
There's currently nothing right now, but I can revert back to the previous standard that we had. So I would just have to confirm with the taxi industry, because I know a lot of the taxis are now putting partition dividers for both customer and driver safety. Previously in the past, we would get the thin plastic peel-in stick, and it would go on the exterior, either the inside of the rear passenger windows, or I can see what would work best for them. It could be something that would stick to the partition divider, but that, of course, would have to be, you know, a standard. It would have, of course, the city's logo on it. It wouldn't have the taxi company logos. So, yeah, I would I would present something as a standardized template to use.
Given what we've heard from the floor and the purpose of this, I would request a motion to recommend to council that the city provides passenger information according to Schedule I and K of the taxi bylaw to the livery holders at each fare change. I think that would encompass what we need to say. We can wordsmith it a little bit when it gets to council at that point in time. So I would seek a motion from somebody on the floor to make that if you're agreeable. And we're all good there. Alan, thank you. I've known Alan for years. I just blanked on his name. A seconder. And Councillor Tilley seconds. Any comments or questions to that? Go ahead, Cameron.
So just for a point of clarification then, and I'm fine with how that motion's been read, from a standardization, I think you were talking about that the city then would also develop a template, font, text size, positioning of graphic, et cetera, cab number if need be, what have you. That would come as part of this. Perfect. Thank you.
I'm not opposed to hearing some comment from the taxi industry if you'd like to come up pretty quickly. Just push your green button there or push the button on the right and I can make your microphone go live. Just please state your name before you start talking and then the floor is yours.
Hello, my name is Ronnie McGregor. I was listening to this motion and I came up with an idea, it's a suggestion. But if we're going to do the effort to display the schedules and have it done by the city, one of the things that we wanted to achieve is pushing forward more precedence on payment in advance. Maybe we could add to that schedule in the bigger size or something to emphasize that taxis should be paid in advance, because that's one of the main reasons for I don't want to use the word conflicts, but for problems in taxis. So if we could use this opportunity to emphasize that payment in advance is required, that would be helpful.
It's a good idea. So for anyone new to taxi review, there has been a provision that payment is required upfront for several years at this point in time. In practice, it's often made at the end of a trip, but there is conflict at times between passengers and drivers when that payment is requested early. So I'm not opposed to having that information included on that document as well. It's a good item to have standardized in there. Cameron, please go ahead.
I agree that's a good suggestion. Thank you for that. The requirement to pay upfront, is that currently listed in the Schedule I as far as the fares are concerned? Is there any stipulation in there that would further reinforce the potential need to have that listed there, and whether or not it needs to be in a certain size font or as long as it's just included, I think is sufficient, because the cab driver could say it's listed there. It states as much, not necessarily that it's big black bold letters.
It's not in the schedule itself. It's in another section of the bylaw, but it's on the books and has been for a reasonable amount of time. It's not going to be hard to incorporate that into the document. Thank you, Ronnie. Any other comments before I call for a vote? Seeing none, call for a vote. All in favor? Oh, yeah, absolutely, Alan. Caught me just in time. Go ahead.
Thank you, Councillor Shepherd. I think I did miss a couple of meetings. So I know this was a very, it's always been a sticky point, the issue of fair payment. Did we gauge what the public response would be to insist on payment upfront? I know this is something that's already been, you know, listed down, but what was the public feedback, if any at all, to that proposal that the fare be paid upon entry of the vehicle?
Go ahead, Rod.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. There was no direct objection that was received at the city, whether that would be at the City of Iqaluit Municipal Enforcement Department. That's normally where 99% of any issues are fielded. People come forward to our department because we know on behalf of the city, we regulate the industry. I do know, however, that there was some social media content and comments. It wasn't a lot of individuals, but they felt that that might be, you know, not appropriate. I see it as an appropriate measure. It is in the bylaw. There's been no real public objection to that being in the bylaw. But it is something, you know, as we move forward, I will make a note in case there is any public input. But as it stands right now, there's been no, you know, significant question or pushback from residents.
Go ahead, Alan.
Okay, thank you for that. So just my follow-up would be just a couple of weeks ago, I was at the, I stopped at the CIBC bank. I parked my vehicle and I needed to get some cash. And I actually witnessed an altercation related to this very same issue. And it did cross my mind. I'm like, okay, maybe this is something that needs to be done. So it's just, in a way, I mean, this is good that this is actually, you know, being done, because I did witness a very, you know, ugly scene. In fact, the lady that was that got out of the taxi cab, she didn't have cash on her, and so she had to go to the bank machine and get the money. And she unfortunately uttered something racial about the taxi driver. And like, in fact, she said, mentioned his ethnicity and said, these effing kind of whatever skin color taxi drivers, you know. So I think this is a good thing then. Thank you.
Just, you know, on that topic, I would ask the industry to make it standard to ask. If you're going to ask for a fare up front and we're going to put this on the sign, you need to do it 100% of the time. I have never in my life been asked to pay a fare up front. I'm not going to speculate as to why, but it just doesn't happen. It needs to happen for everybody. It needs to be equitable in that sense, that every single person. There are times, and we've talked about this in the past, where people are going to need to go somewhere to get money. And the drivers use their own common sense to make those decisions. They're not going to leave somebody at the side of the road, I don't think. Push your button, Ronnie. Please.
I'm going to say this because I know that the owner of Caribou Cabs, Danny Savard, would probably say what I'm going to say. We have tried in the past to have our drivers ask for the fare in advance. It's not an easy change, right? And it depends on each individual. But Danny always felt that if this is going to be successful, it would require the effort of everyone. So that's why I said that, adding that to what we were speaking earlier with Al, communication is always the best way. So we would have to have some help from the city with communications on social media and in the public announcements. And to make it big, I would contact the CBC and Nutsiak and, you know, make it a big awareness thing that from now on, taxis have to be paid ahead of time.
Thank you. It does tie into some of the other wider safety issues that we've discussed in the past, so it's important. Bit of a tangent there, but there is a motion on the floor to approve that recommendation. Barring any other questions, I'll call for a vote. All in favor? Unanimous. Thank you. Back to CAO Mugford with the livery license restrictions.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The next item, livery license restrictions. City Council meeting 07 took place April 27, 2001. There was a motion that came from the Taxi Review Committee. Was the committee recommended to council to amend the taxi bylaw number 590 by removing the limit of number of livery licenses available to the taxi industry, and further that staff be directed to develop criteria for review by the committee, that any new livery license application will be presented to the committee for review and then recommended to council for approval. Since that motion from council, I wanted to advise the committee on a verbal update. Currently, there are conditions in bylaw 590 to be able to meet and qualify for a livery license application. But further to that, additionally, with lifting this restriction, there would be additional requirements brought forward to committee for review and recommendation. And these additional requirements would be that it would require a minimum of 3 cars for the new livery license application. The reason I'm suggesting that is if you have 3 people that put 1 car on individually, it poses a question as we have we increased the service, right? If we are going to give a livery license, it should be at minimum of 3 cars. So if you wish to obtain a livery license, you must be willing to have 3 vehicles ready and to put into service. By doing so, then that would require that hands-free calls for service, as well as an onboard tablet for the purpose of taxi dispatching, or not a mandatory requirement for the onboard tax dispatching service, and that there would be a probationary period. So these are the 3 additional requirements that I am presenting to committee for committee review and recommendation. And I'm prepared to answer any questions if committee members have.
So the rest of those changes have been reviewed and recommended by committee previously. So it's really just those specific items being amended. Any questions on the floor? Cameron, please go ahead.
Thank you, Chair. Can you confirm how that impacts existing livery license holders, those who are currently operating? Is this, if I understand this, is this just for new applications? So those who are already existing, who may currently operate 3 or less vehicles, obviously, is it fair to say that this wouldn't apply to them?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. That would be correct. The standard livery license holders out there right now all operate at minimum 3 cars. We have in the past had individual livery licenses where only 1 car or 2 car was, but the standard right now is that all livery license holders have the 3 cars. If you go more than 3 cars, now you have to have a dispatch service, like a building and dispatching. It would be like the grandfathering in clause. They're already established. They meet all the criteria. They have the hands-free or the tablet. They also have the minimum requirement of 3 cars. So they would be meeting the new criteria as well. Thank you.
Go ahead, Alan.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor Shepherd. Sorry, I kept getting it wrong. I kept calling you Councillor Shepherd.
I'm not picky.
And then the first time I called you Councillor Kyle. I just wanted to get some clarity here, please. So we're saying that if the taxi company has more than 3 vehicles, so if they have, you know, say 5 vehicles, they have to have a dispatch. Now, I'm just thinking of, you know, small business owners, people trying to start up a new business. When they have to have a dispatch, are there conditions as to whether the dispatch can be operated out of their, you know, their home, for example, you know, in their apartment, or it actually has to be like a commercial, you know, business premises?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So the zoning bylaw would regulate that. Yes, there would be certain criteria that would have to be met. It doesn't automatically mean you need to have a commercial building. It could be possible to operate out of your current home or whatnot. So one of the criteria that's already set for everybody in the industry is that this has to be vetted through and reviewed by our planning and development staff to ensure that the zoning and general plan are being met.
And that provision is already in place. That's not ultimately affected by what's being recommended tonight as well. Cameron, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Another just general question. Are there a lot of people currently in the queue to get livery licenses?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. There is interest. It's not a substantial amount. I would say that I have been reached out to by three different parties that are patiently waiting for finalization of what the criteria will be.
There's no further questions. I would seek a motion to recommend to council. As per CAO Mugford's comments earlier, we need to wordsmith a motion on that. How do you want to say that? Recommend to council.
Recommend to council that the additional requirements.
That the additional requirements.
Be added to the current requirements under 590 livery license application.
Be added to the existing requirements of bylaw 590 regarding livery license applications. Go with that. Any mover for that? Councillor Tilley moves. Allen seconds. I assume no further comments or questions given the discussion, so I'll call for a vote. All in favor? That's unanimous. Thank you. Final item, vehicle for hire bylaw draft. Back to CAO Mugford.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So the city has a vehicle for hire draft bylaw. This bylaw, if I do remember correctly, came into presentation in 2017 or 2018. It was introduced to committee for review. Committee has reviewed it in length. The draft was further reviewed by staff, which was myself, in 2019. Subsequently, there's been a legal review conducted pertaining to this bylaw further that I conducted for some noted concerns that I thought might need a little bit of a further, you know, review. And those relate to audio and video recording within a taxi. And I know now if you take a taxi, you're aware that you will be audio recorded as well as video recorded. The legal review that I undertook regarding this has identified some liabilities and some concerns pertaining to the protection of privacy of the drivers and customers within a taxi. It's been noted that if the city mandates the use of audio and video recording in a taxi, therefore if we mandate it, we have to regulate it, as opposed to voluntary use, we would be required to have a supplemental bylaw. That would outline the use of the audio and video recording in a taxi, as well as the requirement to administrate and regulate the industry pertaining to the use of that equipment. Unfortunately, the territory does not have a governing body, which other territories and provinces do. They have a governing body just for audio and video recording, whether if you go into a store or if you go into a public place and you're being video recorded or audio recorded. We don't have that governing body, so therefore it will be left upon the city to administer. Due to the legal review and the aspects in relations to the current draft, there will now be required to have additional amendments take place for that draft as well. That those amendments will effectively require deletions of previous sections and additions to the bylaw. Changes approved to the timelines for vehicle inspections is another area that will have to be revisited due to some amendments that we just currently did last year under bylaw 590. And of course, the approval of the livery license restrictions. What I am bringing forward to committee for review and recommendation, two options. Option one is to continue with the current draft that we have in place and make the appropriate amendments. Option number two, and I'm going to put my professional opinion forward with option number two, which I prefer, and I can provide some additional reasoning why I do prefer this option. It's the one that I recommend most, is to develop and draft a new vehicle for a higher bylaw for ease of amendments, as well as ease of condensing this bylaw. The current bylaw, and to implement these further changes, I foresee higher costs. To draft a new bylaw, I speculate that it would be much lower cost to do so. So therefore, I'm recommending to committee option number two. One of the reasons is the current draft bylaw is almost in excess of 200 pages. And the cost associated for the translation of a final version would be exorbitant. So I'm presenting option number two for committee to consider.
Selecting option number two allows this committee to review said bylaw as well before it gets recommended to council, so you get input on it. I would definitely suggest option number two. Please. Cameron, please go ahead.
Are we able to get, and again, curiosity question, any indication on how common the practice is for this vehicle for hire compared to just standard taxis operating in the city? Are there a lot of vehicles for hire? I know that it does happen where someone will come in and basically book a car out for a day or two with a particular driver, but do you have any idea, numbers?
Not particularly numbers of how many livery licenses might get, you know, a customer say, I want to hire your vehicle and I want to hire it for the day or just a few hours. It is common practice here. It does happen infrequently, I do believe. And I say infrequently because we only encounter that in the city's perspective through enforcement. You know, when there's a vehicle that's obviously registered as taxi, it doesn't have a dome on, but there's people in it. So now we have to determine whether they're in contravention of the bylaw. Normally most industry holders are really good at saying, hey, we're going to be renting this taxi, so if you see this taxi on the road, it doesn't have a dome. But what the city is trying to achieve is standardization. So we look to Yellowknife, we look to White Horse, we look to other places similar size and whatnot. And that's the standard that they've set, is a vehicle for hire bylaw, and we're trying to mirror that standard so that we, I guess, fall in line with what every other municipality and city is doing. So thank you.
And just to make it super clear, the vehicle for hire bylaw is a new taxi bylaw that just covers a little bit more, a little bit beyond the taxis themselves. So any further questions, any comment from the floor? Ready to move to recommend option two to draft a new vehicle for hire bylaw, incorporating some of the changes we've talked about tonight, as well as other administration's priorities that have been reviewed previously. Please go ahead, Jacob.
Hi, Jacob. Are there any guarantees that a revised or new bylaw would be coming in at a lower page number count? Or just to ensure that if we're going down on this endeavor, that it's the end result is something more manageable than what is currently being presented as option one. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Yes, this draft, so it will be significantly lower in number size. I don't, in all my years of enforcement, which is, you know, getting close to 25 years, which makes me get older. honestly, when I saw it, it is almost not impossible to enforce, but it would be very time constraining on an enforcement department, given the amount of information that's in there that's not required and the amount of sections that there, I see no requirement. The bylaw itself has good merit, but for the size of our city, no, it doesn't meet our needs. So it will be significantly reduced, but it will address all of the industry concerns and all of the administrative concerns.
All right. So without any more questions, I will call for a motion to make that recommendation. Councillor Tilley moves. Cameron seconds. Last chance for comments or questions. Seeing none, I'll call for a vote. All in favor? That's unanimous. Thank you very much. I would encourage all members to pop on the city's website under City Council. The bylaws are there. You can look up current bylaw 590 as well as any other document of note. Go ahead, Rod.
Thank you. And through the chair, I want to make this suggestion. Given that we have a brand new committee and whatnot, I would prepared now to I can give you all a copy of the current vehicle for hire bylaw draft just for your review. It is a lengthy document. I may have to send it in a compressed folder or something, but I would like to give the new members the opportunity to see that document.
With no further business, I will call for a motion to adjourn. Councillor Tilley moves. Alan seconds. Almost got in there, Jacob. And call for a vote. All in favor? Thank you all for attending. Thank you, Jeannie, for staying, and Ronnie for presenting and providing some insight.
Can you ask if they would like a drink?
Would you like City Administration to send you a link or the directions to get to the actual bylaws on the city's website? It's not always user-friendly, but if you're remotely tech-savvy, you'll be able to figure it out. All right.
A little bit would be great.
All right.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
We'll do that.
Send it out. All right. Thank you, everybody. Have a good night.